Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Bibles to the book of Luke, and that hymn there is one that we don't often sing here in the church. I'd like to change that. I think that has a great message behind it. Really ought to be the prayer of each of us that the Lord would make us like himself. Luke chapter number 10. What a difference this world would see if people would be like Jesus. We can't expect the lost to be like him, can we?
But we can expect those who are saved, born again, children of God, with the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and that's all of us if you're born again, we can expect ourselves to be like Jesus. What a difference we can make in this world if we would be. Luke chapter number 10 and verse 21 is where we'll be for the message here this morning. Luke 10 and verse 21. The Bible tells us there, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." The title of the message this morning is Sight. Just that one word, sight. It really takes up the verses here that we're looking at this morning. It really takes them up, that word sight, or the idea of what a person sees. It's included as well what they hear, but the emphasis is what they see, and that takes up really these four verses that we look at this morning. And the title of the message being sight, I want you to understand that not everybody sees the way God sees. Not everybody sees what God intends them to see. There is a key that is needed to unlock the door of sight. And we'll talk about that here this morning. But before we do, we're going to pray. And then what I'll do is I'll show with you or talk with you about four areas of sight, or four areas where sight is mentioned in these four verses right here. Before we get that far, though, let's pray one more time. Just ask God for his blessing. Lord, we need your blessing this morning. I do thank you for the privilege of being able to stand before your people and declare, thus saith the Lord. Thank you for your word that gives me the ability to have something even to say. Lord, if we would dive into the books of philosophy and human wisdom, Lord, it would be just vanity and emptiness if we would try to preach from those things. Lord, we as human beings are very limited in our sight, and our sight is usually wrong. The only time it's not is when we line up with you. Now, Lord, we recognize that your word, the book that we hold in our hands, is the authority on this earth about what to do and how to act and how to live. Lord, would you open it to us now by your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, and show us what it is that you want us to understand from these verses right here about sight. Guide me and guide my words. Humble me. Cause me not to say just what comes to my mind, but help me to be led by you to say the things that are right. Let my words be your words and only your words. And I thank you, Lord, that you will. Please give us all ears to hear your voice this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this message of sight. I want you, first of all, to understand that the book of James, chapter number 4 and verse 6 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." That is a verse that is very important for us as Christians to understand, that God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. And we're going to see that that verse of James 4, 6 really has a big bearing on the verses that we looked at for our text this morning. Because if we're going to see like God sees, we need to have humility so that God can give us grace. With that in mind, let me ask you this question. Are you humble enough that God can reveal his truth to you? Are you humbled in such a way that God can reveal his truth to you? Along those lines, as we think about that question, let's look at these verses here. First of all, as I notice in Luke 10, verse 21 through 24, this message of sight, the first thing I see is the Father's sight. Look at verse 21. It says, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Before we get into that, let me just give you a little bit of context and help you understand that when Jesus stopped and said, I thank thee, Father, that you've revealed these things unto babes, that you've hidden them from the wise and prudent, the things that he's talking about are the things that the apostles or the disciples had mentioned in the previous verses. Do you remember in the previous verses, Jesus had sent the 70 out, and they came back and they were amazed with the fact that they had power over the evil spirits. You remember that? And then Jesus told them not to be filled with joy or rejoice because they had power over evil spirits. Rather, they were to rejoice because their names are written in heaven. It's at that point that he says, the Father has revealed these things, the truth of heaven, the power over the wicked one, not unto the wise and prudent, but unto babes, or we might say babies. And then Jesus mentions, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And that's the first thing I want to point out to you from these verses this morning is the Father, God, has sight. And what I mean by that is he has a certain way of looking at things that's different than the way we look at things. God's ways are different than our ways. By the way, don't be surprised then when the world balks at what God says. Don't be surprised when the world hates what the Word of God says, because God's ways are different than this world. It's going to be that way. Also, don't be surprised when you're in a problem or a situation and you want wisdom to go forward, if God from His Word and by His Spirit gives you wisdom that goes counter to what you would automatically think in your mind, because God's ways are different than our ways. I'll just read a verse to you. Psalm 92:5 says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And we ought to be able to say amen to that, that God's ways, his works are great, and his thoughts are very deep. His thoughts are different than ours. Let me give you another verse that I won't have you turn to because we turn to it often, but let me read it to you. And that is Isaiah 55:8-9, where God tells his prophet and his people, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God states it as clear as can be. Listen, just as the heaven is higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways are higher than yours. And we know that in here, but Christian, I pray that this morning, the Spirit of God will allow that truth to go from here down to here. That it sinks down into our hearts this morning, and we recognize God's ways are higher than ours. So let's trust Him then, because He's wiser than we are. Turn with me, if you would, back to Romans 11. We were there for our scripture reading. You'll want to keep your place in Luke chapter number 10, but turn to Romans chapter number 11. Again, we were there for scripture reading, so you'll be familiar with where it is. But Romans 11 and verse 31 this time. We started with verse 25 in the scripture reading. This time we'll start with verse 31. Romans 11 and verse 31. Paul the Apostle, when writing to the Romans, he says, even so have these all now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now notice verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now I would notice, or have you notice, a couple of things here where it says in verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Let's take those two things and just meditate on them for just a moment. What does it mean, oh, the depth of the riches of the knowledge of God? Well, obviously, that means God's knowledge is deep. He knows more than you do. Go figure. He knows a lot more than we do. And friends, we need to remember that His knowledge extends far beyond what we can even imagine. Not only about just creation and this world, but about how life works, about the situations that we're in. We could go on and on. In every situation that we're in, God knows and understands not just more than you, but He knows and understands all things. Now let's add to that, not only did Paul say, oh, the depth of the riches of the knowledge of God, he also said, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God. What's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is you know facts. Wisdom is you know the right way to apply those facts to any given situation. It's not enough to know facts. There's a lot of facts floating around these days, aren't there? And not a whole lot of wisdom. But you understand that God has wisdom beyond what we can even imagine. Not only does He know more than we do, He knows how to apply that knowledge in every single situation just the correct way. And that's important for you and me to remember. Let me encourage you to meditate on that. Even today, even this afternoon, take some time and sit by yourself for a little bit and just think about your situation and what you're in. Maybe there's a problem that you're facing right now. Maybe it's not a problem, but you have a fear that you're facing right now. Please understand, God's ways are right. He understands. And let me put it to this way. God knows how to make you happy. And if you'll follow God's ways, He will make you happy. Now, please understand this. I don't think God wants us to only obey Him because we think it'll make us happy. And yet, just read God's Word. Get to know God a little bit, and you'll find out that even in the midst of the greatest trials, He gives His people peace and joy and contentment. And this world cannot give that. Your own wisdom cannot give that. You've tried, and you've failed miserably. And so have I. So trust God. He knows what He's doing. That's the Father's sight. We don't have time to look at Job 38, 1 through 4, but we'll do it anyway. All right, Job 38, 1 through 4. Let's look there. We don't have time, but we'll do this. Job 38 and verses 1 through 4. Here's the other thing about God's ways being different than our ways. His ways are always right. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Now notice verse 4, Job 38, verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Notice what God challenges Job with. He basically says, where were you when I created the world? When I set all of this up? It's a good question that we ought to ask ourselves, and the obvious answer is, I didn't even exist. My existence comes from you. I wasn't there even watching you do it. I was not around. Therefore, God is explaining to Job, and if you know anything about the book of Job, Job went through lots of trials. And God is reminding him, I do all things, and I do all things right. I've set this whole thing up. I am the maker of it. I know what to do. God's sight is the first point in the message this morning. Let's look at the second one, and that's, again, back in Luke chapter number 10. Here's the second part of sight, and this comes from verse 22. Luke 10 and verse 22. All things are delivered to me, says Jesus, of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So we noticed the Father's sight, and now I want you to notice the Son's sight. In other words, Jesus' sight. Now don't get confused. God's language there in His Word has a purpose. But don't allow yourself to think of Jesus being the Son and God being the Father in the same culture and situation that you think of if you have a son or if you are a son. Many times people get confused and they say, well, Jesus can't be God because after all, He's the Son of God. Well, that's a misunderstanding of those terms, number one. But just even of the makeup of God, that's a misunderstanding. Jesus is not saying there that him being the Son is like his relationship with the Father, like my relationship with my two boys when they were, let's just say, toddlers. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is speaking in a much different context than we even understand in these days. But in those days, when a son would be full grown and a son would live with the Father and work with the Father, they were a team and they were on the same page and they were of the same blood, they were of the same makeup. And yes, the Son submitted his will to the will of the Father. The Father was the leader, but they were a team. And that's the way that Jesus is trying to help us understand his relationship with the Father. They are one, and we'll see that here in a little bit. And yet Jesus submitted his will to the Father's will because their will was one will. So he always did the Father's will. So when Jesus talks about his sight in verse 22, where he says that I know who the Father is and I will reveal him to you, those are the points that I want to make to you about the Son's sight is he shares the sight of the Father. John 10:30, Jesus said this, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. He shares the sight of the Father. And then according to verse 22, he is the only source of sight for you and me. Do you want to have wisdom? Do you want to see things like God sees things? There's one way to get it, and that's through Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse 22. Notice the last third of the verse. And who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. If somebody wants to know who Jesus is, or wants to have the sight that the Father has, there's only one way, and that way is get to know Jesus, and he will reveal him. Friends, if you want wisdom and if you want to know God, there's only one way to do it. You must know Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? It's not enough to know about him. Do you know him? He's the only source of wisdom. You need wisdom in this world. Jesus is the only source. Let's think about our national problems. Does our nation have problems? Oh, our nation has problems. Let's think about our society. Let's just say Western culture. Does Western culture have problems? Oh, Western culture has problems. Friends, what's the answer? Jesus. Jesus is the answer. It's not a political party. It's not a social program. Jesus is the answer. If society wants to be fixed, listen, if we want to be able to today go down to State Street and take off the plywood off of the windows and open up businesses again and allow people to feel safe in their society and for people within the city of Madison to stop fearing for their life, and by the way, that's becoming a real issue in our city. Our city is changing. Our city is becoming a dangerous place to be. The answer for Madison, the answer for our society is simply this, Jesus. If we would once again as a society turn to the Lord Jesus, things would change. Would there still be sinners? Yes. Would there still be a need for policemen? Yes. But the fear of God would take care of many of the problems in our society, and many of the people who now do evil would begin to do right. Yes, it would take some time, but it would change our world if Jesus was put back into the place where he once had, the place that he once had. If our leaders in our nation, if our leaders in our county, if our leaders in our city would stand up and say, the Bible is right. The Ten Commandments were given to us by God for a reason, and you need to follow them. If our leaders would do that, things would change. Now, that may not be popular, and you and I may even recognize that it'll be a miracle if that ever happens in our society. But friends, if it would, things would change. Jesus is the answer. So again, let me ask you, do you know him? Do you know him? Let me share with you the third area of sight in our passage here, Luke chapter number 10. And we started with verse 21. We saw the Father's sight. Verse 22 was the Son's sight. And now let's look at the disciples' sight. That's verses 23 and 24. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Can you picture this? Jesus, after making that statement, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes," etc. Then he goes to his disciples privately. He turns to them. I can almost imagine that he even speaks in a lower tone and says to them, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see." Listen, he says to them, "You guys, and anyone else who sees like you," and by the way, that's us, "has blessed eyes. Because the things that you get to see are things that many prophets and kings and others that are in places of authority and that walked with God, they desired to see them. They were not able to see them. You get to see them. You are a privileged people." You see, the disciples had sight as well. He encouraged them with the blessings that they enjoyed, and he's encouraging us today with the blessings that we enjoy. He's letting us know about our privileged status. And Christian, I want you to realize today that no matter what problem you're going through, you are a privileged person. Not just because you live in the United States of America, although that's a privilege, but because you have the opportunity to know things that other people don't know. Other people walk around in this world, and listen, this pandemic that we're in the middle of causes people to freeze in fear, doesn't it? There's a lot of people that are very much afraid of what's going on. There are people who are in a panic mode, not just about the pandemic that we're in. There are people who are in a panic mode about the situation that we're seeing these days in our government and the things that are going on and all of the turmoil in our society, and they are full of fear and concern. You don't have to live that way. You're privileged. You get to see with God's sight. You get to step back and see the big picture. Now, you may or may not be taking advantage of the sight that God has given you. Some of you perhaps are fearful in all of these ways. Perhaps your life and your heart is filled with concern and fear, overly much so. And let me encourage you to begin to see things from God's perspective. But you see, you are a privileged people, and I'm privileged as well. Let me give you the fourth point here in Luke chapter number 10. We need to go back to verse 21. As we've seen the Father's sight, the Son's sight, the disciples' sight, and now, verse 21, we find the key to sight. What is the key to sight? Look at verse 21. "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes," or we would say babies. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Let me say under this point here of the key to sight is hidden from the wise and prudent, according to Jesus' own words. Sight is hidden from the wise and prudent. You see, wisdom comes from God. We've already mentioned that. But wisdom comes from God. And he hides wisdom from the wise and the prudent. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Thou hast hidden these things. You've covered them up. You've made sure that the wise and prudent didn't see them. It's not just that they passed over it. God actually was actively working against the wise and prudent to hide those things. Let me ask you this question. Is it possible this morning that God is hiding wisdom from you? Is it possible that even though you're religious, like the Pharisees and the religious Jews of Jesus' day, that even though you're religious, God is hiding wisdom from you? It is possible. Now, why would God hide things from the wise and prudent? Look with me, if you would, at Hosea chapter number 14. Hosea is one of those minor prophets, all right? Let's see here. We have Hosea right after Daniel, the book of Daniel, and then the book of Hosea. So if you find Ezekiel, then you'll find Daniel, then you'll find Hosea. So it's toward the end of the Old Testament, Hosea, and I want you to look at chapter 14, because this is an apparent contradiction, right? It's unusual that we would say God hides things from those who are wise, because in the book of Proverbs, we learn that wisdom is the principal thing. It's the thing we ought to seek after. So why would God hide things from the wise and prudent? Well, Hosea 14, verse 9. Let me show you again. This is an apparent contradiction in the Word of God, but I think you'll understand a little bit later why it looks that way. Hosea 14, verse 9, where it says, "Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." There in Hosea 14, it says that God reveals things to the wise and prudent. Why in Luke chapter 10 did Jesus say God had hidden things from the wise and prudent? Well, the key is in the end of verse number 9, what we just read there. The key is in the end of the verse. The just shall walk in them, the transgressors shall fall therein. The key is, the wise are really those who are just. The wise are really those who are not transgressing God's ways. With that idea in mind there, let's think again of Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, where it says that God had hidden them from the wise and prudent. The obvious answer is this, that the people that God hides wisdom from are those who think they're wise. They're full of pride, and in their own estimation of their worth, they say, "I'm a wise individual. I'm a prudent individual." And by the way, wasn't that the Pharisees of Jesus' day? They were religious. And by the way, the things that they did for religious deeds were not wrong in and of themselves. The problem was, is they thought because they were so religious, therefore now we are wise and prudent. Now we are the font of all knowledge. And anyone who isn't like us has no wisdom whatsoever. That's the wrong way of thinking. You see, Jesus was speaking in Luke 10, 21 of those who claim to be wise but are actually fools. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 1, if you would. Romans chapter number 1. Here's a passage of Scripture that we looked at on Wednesday evening as we looked at Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 21. Notice what the Word of God tells us here. This is speaking of the Gentile world that rejects God. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Notice verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Those are the people that Jesus is speaking of when He says that the Father had hidden those things from the wise and prudent. You see, God hides things from people who are so filled with pride that they think they're wise. Christian, every one of us ought to have the attitude before God that, "God, I am a baby in understanding. God, I am in great need of You to reveal every single step for me. I cannot do this on my own. God, I need You." And the longer you've been a Christian, the more dangerous the opportunity becomes that you would get filled with the success that God has given you in the past. If you've had any length of time walking with the Lord, if things have gone well, if you've raised a godly family, if you've come kind of to the latter part of your life and you've gotten to the place where you look around and you say, "You know what? God has guided me all this way. He's helped me. God's Word has been true, and I've been able to prove that God's Word is right." Now the problem is, you need to take heed with the Apostle Paul, that "let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." There's a danger in that. Those of you who grew up in Christian homes, your parents led you in the right way. They prompted you to read the Bible. You were saved under their tutelage and under their instruction for you, and you've grown up in church. The danger for you is to think, "You know what? I know how to do this. I've watched it being done. I'll be okay. I can get along without seeking God's face." You are in an especially dangerous place. Let me encourage you this morning to be humble before God. Because the truth of the matter from verse 21 of Luke 10 is that sight is given unto babies. That's why Jesus said, you've revealed it unto babes. You see, we must become children before God in order for us to have wisdom. Look with me at Luke chapter number 18. We're in Luke 10 for our scripture. Let's look at Luke 18. We must become babies in order for God to reveal wisdom to us. Luke 18 and verse 16. We'll start with verse 15. It'll give us good context. Luke 18, verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer, which means allow, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And then he goes a step further in verse 17. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You see, it's so big of a deal that we become as children, we cannot even be saved without becoming as a little child. We must receive the gift of eternal life as a little child. How does a little child receive a gift? Well, very freely, very humbly. Think about it now. Just think about this. If you have children or if you had children at one time living in your home, imagine if somebody came up to you and offered you a gift of some kind and just out of the blue arbitrarily offered you something as an adult. More than likely, you're appreciative, but you think to yourself, I don't really know if I want to accept that. That makes me a little uncomfortable. It puts me in a situation where I'm humbled and I don't really know what to say. And yet probably, especially if the person is a friend, you take it. If the person is a stranger, you're very unlikely to take even a gift from that person. But think about what a little child does. A little child, somebody, even a stranger, comes along and gives them a gift. The little child says, thanks. And takes it and runs off with it and enjoys the gift. To the point where we as parents often say to our children, listen, you don't just take things from people. Talk to me about it first. Jesus said that in order to receive the kingdom of God, we have to receive it as a little child. That's without fear of losing my pride, without fear of anything, just receiving it as a little child, just glad to receive it. And friends, that's how we get wisdom from God as well. How does an adult take instructions from another adult? Usually pretty poorly. If I came to you and explained to you that, hey, you need to straighten this out about the way that you drive your car or the way that you take care of this or take care of that, most of you would be a little bit upset at me that I stepped foot into your business and talked to you about how to do things. But talk to a little child. Most little children, if you explain to them, hey, you're doing that wrong, do it this way. Not all the time, but most of the time, they'll take it. They may or may not follow your instructions, but they'll take it. You know why? What's the difference? Because we as adults get very filled with pride, don't we? We're very concerned with what do others think of me? How can I maintain face in front of everybody? How can I continue on in life and people still think that I'm good and that I've arrived and that I have it all together? And Jesus says about the kingdom of God, you must receive it as a little child. And I believe what he's saying there is, you've got to let go of your pride. You can no longer be worried about what will people think. They can never think any worse than the truth. Because the truth is, we're all despicable sinners deserving of God's judgment, every one of us. And you can't get any worse than that. But now let's apply it to wisdom. Friends, if you're going to get wisdom from God, you have to be like a little child. God reveals these things unto babes or babies. You've got to let go of pride. You've got to let go of whether or not people will think you have it all together. Let go of all those things and humble yourself as a child and let God lead you. God will reveal things to you. God will open up the scriptures and you'll have understanding and you'll have what you need for the situation that you're in. But you must humble yourself. James 4:6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Are you humble enough to get God's sight? With that said, let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looked around this morning. Is there anybody here that would say with an uplifted hand, Pastor, God spoke to me about this message here this morning, and just between you and me, Pastor, no one else looking around, just between you and me, the Lord spoke to me, and there's some areas in my life I need to humble myself. Would you lift up your hand? How many of you would say with an uplifted hand? Many hands up, and mine is up with yours as well. You may put your hands down. Amen. God sees those. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what He spoke to you about, and I appreciate you following through with that. Anybody else? Anybody else that didn't raise their hand at that time, but you say, God spoke to me. I see that hand as well, and I will pray for you. You bet. Absolutely. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, I don't even know that my sins are forgiven. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I haven't done right. I know that I've broken God's law. And I cannot say that I know my sins are forgiven, but boy, I'd sure like to know that God has forgiven me. Would you pray for me, Pastor, that I might have the wisdom to understand how I can have my sins forgiven? Would you lift up your hand, anybody at all? I'm going to pray, and then we'll start a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You that You've revealed these things, not unto the wise and prudent, but unto babies. Lord, would You help us to be humble? Would You even, Lord, humble us? Show us that we don't have the wisdom that we think we have. Show us that outside of You, we have nothing but vanity and foolishness. Lord, let it be something that's more than just something we know in our mind, but something that we would understand in our heart and would be a part of us, that we could seek Your face for wisdom. Lord, would You help with that, I pray. Give us the sight that only You have. In Jesus' name, amen.